You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash with a silver hat about his head and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into another episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast. I'm your boy Q, and it is Thursday, January 24th, 2019. Got a lot of things to talk about on today's podcast. Of course, you know, as always, going to open up that Locked On Raiders podcast voicemail line at 707-654-4693. Just about something we do just about every single day here on the Locked On Raiders podcast, and it makes it a lot of fun. It's not just my podcast, but it's your podcast, and I always love to hear from you. So again, it's 707-654-4693. That is the Locked On Raiders podcast voicemail line. You'll hear some calls from segment number two and also in segment number three. Segment number one, though, I wanted to talk about a lot of folks that have asked about Marshawn Lynch, if he's going to return in 2019, and if he doesn't, who the guy is going to be moving forward. And I only want to bring this up because of two reports. I saw two reports on Wednesday, as a matter of fact. One said that Lynch will return to the Raiders if they play in Oakland. And then I saw another one that said Chris Warren is going to be the guy for the Raiders in 2019. And I definitely have strong feelings about both. So I want to speak on that. So I'm going to speak on that right now. Now, Marshawn Lynch returning in 2019 only if they play in Oakland makes all the sense in the world. I mean, let's not get that twisted. As much as he's been fun to watch as an Oakland Raider, that's what it's all about. It's about him being an Oakland Raider. It's not about him being a Raider. It's about him being an Oakland Raider. I mean, you can go back and listen to his very first press conference, one of his very first press conferences he had with NFL Network when he first became an Oakland Raider in 2017. And they were talking about, well, you have an opportunity to win championships. And he was like, yeah, that's nice. But, you know, I'm just doing it for the town. I mean, he let it be known right then and there what he was doing it for. That was a childhood dream for him to be playing for his hometown team, which is Oakland, California. So if they don't play in Oakland in 2019, I don't think that you'll see Marshawn Lynch at all. I know John Gruden at the Senior Bowl said he'd like to see him back, but he doesn't know if he's going to come back, doesn't know what his intentions are, and two, doesn't know if he's healthy enough. Personally, I don't think Marshawn Lynch returns in 2019. I've said that. I've been on record before on this podcast and said I don't think he returns in 2019, and I'm actually okay with that. Again, as much as I've liked what I've seen from Marshawn Lynch, he's getting older, and at some point, I mean, that was cool. That was really cool. But at some point, I want to see this team grow into who they're going to be. And if you know what I'm saying? Like, what I mean by that is I want to see who this team's going to be. I don't want to just have some parts that are there almost like with like masking tape. You know what I mean? Because masking tape always breaks at some point. It's nice for a quick minute, but it's not good for the long term. So what I want to see is this team start to grow. I want to see what Mike Mayock, I want to see what John Gruden, I want to see what they could do with these draft picks, I want to see what they could do with this free agent money that they're going to have to spend. I want to see them start building this team so I know moving forward who this team's going to be. Because when they get good, damn it, I don't want them to get good like 2016 good, where we don't see it, but only 1 year. I want to see some longevity here. This is what this is all about. What they're doing in 2019, what they're trying to do in this upcoming draft, what they're trying to do in Mobile, Alabama right now is build this team for the long haul. Not short-term satisfaction, but the long haul. They're not taking this, you know what I'm saying? This is not like a speed dating routine. This is something where it's going to be a long-term relationship. That's why Mark Davis gave John Gruden a 10-year deal because, damn it, he wants to see some longevity. And I don't know about you, Raider Nation, I want to see some longevity as well. When was the last time we seen the Raiders be really successful for multiple years in a row? I'll wait. I'm sure some people, and according to some of the stories that we've heard on the podcast about how and when you became a Raider fan, some of you have never seen them have longevity and have that long-term success. All you see is the short-term. and most recently 2016. And that was it. And remember, as fans, we all thought, oh man, once Derek Carr comes back healthy and come back from that broken leg, broken ankle, oh, he'll be fine and the Raiders are going to be competing for championships. Hell, the team thought that too. Remember when Derek Carr would be on the field dancing? Remember the preseason? Started dancing when he threw a touchdown pass? I'll tell you right there, in 2017, I got nervous when I saw that. I was like, man, hold on. You ain't really won nothing yet. You know, I don't know if you could be dancing yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, I see guys get excited. I see guys get fired up. You know, Aaron Rodgers, he does the little discount double check move or whatever, hit you with the belt and all that good stuff. I get that, but some of those winners, man, some of those winning quarterbacks, I don't see them out there doing a whole lot of dancing now outside of Cam Newton, but let's be honest about the situation. Cam Newton had one MVP-type season, 2015? And what did he do after that? He ain't done nothing yet. So, you know, maybe it's not great to celebrate and start doing all that dancing. So I know I got sidetracked a little bit, but when I saw Derek Carr doing all that dancing in 2017, it did get me a little nervous. And, well, we all saw how that season went. It went off the rails pretty quickly. 2018, I ain't got to rehash that at all, right? Okay, thought so. Anyway, my point is, if Marshawn Lynch does not return, even if they do play in Oakland in 2019, I'm okay with that. What he's done has been nice. It's been fun. But it's time to move this team into who they're going to be, not just a nice, fun story for the immediate satisfaction. I want to see the long term. If you're going to get a running back in there that's going to be a stud, if it's going to be Chris Warren, fine, so be it. But let's start to move this team in that direction. I want to see players that are going to be on this team for the long haul, not guys that are just there for the quick couple minutes. You know what I'm saying? Like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. I don't want that. I want the long-term relationship. Now, again, Marshawn Lynch can do a lot of good things. He's a veteran. He's been there, done that. I know John Gruden loves his veterans and all. But at the same time, man, Marshawn Lynch is going to only be there for so long. So I'm ready if the team can go out and find their guy that could be the dude, because the Raiders need to get their guy. Marshawn Lynch is Seattle's guy. I mean, he's Oakland's guy. But he was actually Seattle's guy. You know what I mean? I mean, he won a championship in Seattle. When he was beast mode at his finest, he was in Seattle. So, again, not hating on him because I really love what he brings to the table. I love just him in general, like all Raider fans do. I mean, he's fun. I got his jersey. I got an autographed jersey of his just, you know, ready to hang up on my wall. So it's not that I'm hating on him. I'm just ready to move into the direction of where I start to see long-term satisfaction. Hopefully, I relayed that correctly. Hopefully you understood what I'm saying without me sounding like I'm trying to hate on Marshawn Lynch. I'm not. Also, that same report, like I mentioned, if it's Chris Warren, so be it. I don't know if it is. I know I saw some good stuff from Chris Warren in the preseason. But again, what was I just said? The preseason. I saw Chris Warren when he was at the University of Texas. I saw him for quite a while, and I wasn't convinced. Matter of fact, when he signed with the Raiders, I was like, oh, great. What's he going to do? But he surprised me. He surprised me with what he was able to bring to the table. And he was wearing the number 34. And so I know a lot of fans immediately started thinking of Bo. Chris Warren is not Bo Jackson. But I do think he has potential. I like how they stashed him on IR so they didn't lose him to another team. That was great. I'm not hating on that at all again. He's been with the team for a whole year. He's obviously going to be healthy. I mean, the Raiders did the same thing with Marquette King back in the day. They stashed him on IR and then made him the featured punter the following season. So that's, I see what they're doing with Chris Warren. I just don't know if he could be that dude. I know he could be a part of the puzzle. I think he could be one of those guys that has a major role on the team. I just don't know if he's your dude. And if you know what I'm saying? Like, the running backs, I want the Raiders to get a dude. I want the Raiders to get their own Le'Veon Bell. I don't want them to go out and spend money on Le'Veon Bell. I want them to get their own Le'Veon Bell. You know what I'm saying? I want them to get their own Nick Chubb. I want them to get their own, like, Marlon Mack. You know how the Colts found a nice little puzzle piece in Marlon Mack? Yeah, I want them to get their own guy like that. I don't want them to go out and spend money on a dude like that. I want them to find their own. Look, Mike Mayock is in Mobile, Alabama. He knows the guys coming out into the draft. Go out and get one. Even if he's a late-round guy, that's fine. We see all the running backs that have had a lot of success being drafted later in the draft. I want to see the Raiders go out and get their Saquon Barkley. I don't want the Raiders to trade for Leonard Fournette. I want them to go find their own Leonard Fournette. And I know that you can't fill every single role and fill every hole on your team through the draft. But you know what? You can build through the draft and then, like, seal the deal with free agents. You don't want to build the team through free agency. You don't want to make a bunch of trades because then you're giving away assets to try to get assets. And again, these aren't long-term fixes. These are just short little you know, fix me nows, and I don't want to be fixed now. I mean, I do want to be fixed now. I want the team to win right now. Don't get it twisted. But I also want this team to be successful for years to come. I absolutely do. So those are my thoughts on that. Marshawn Lynch, my gut feeling, I've told you a few times, don't think he's going to return. And Chris Warren, I don't believe that he's going to be the dude. I think he could be a piece of the puzzle, but I don't think he's the dude. So I definitely wanted to just kind of speak on that quickly. And then also, I had to touch on the dust-up on Twitter between Derek Carr aiming at Max Kellerman from First Take. Stephen A. Smith ended up getting involved in it, but Derek Carr wasn't really aiming at Max Kellerman. Wasn't really aiming at Stephen A. Smith. He was going after Max Kellerman because of something that he said on First Take, and it wasn't really – I mean, it was First Take, so you already have to know what First Take is. It's a show that I won't watch just because it's just whatever. I don't even believe that they believe what they're talking about. But what I love about the fact, and you know what? I'll pull up the audio. I got the audio. It's about 30 seconds. I'll play it for you. Matter of fact, here, you know, before I go on any further, here's what was said on First Take by Max Kellerman about Derek Carr.
You know, you can see, just like, you know, different players get called out for taking plays off, you can see where a quarterback don't want it. You know, Carr didn't want it. And I think Gruden knows they got to move on. And the question is, can they get anything for him? Is he a placeholder until they find the next guy? How long will it take to develop the next guy? And Kyler Murray, if you could grab him in the draft, hell yeah.
Okay, so right there, that 30 seconds is what Derek Carr basically has responded to on Twitter. And he started going in. I mean, he really started going in. And you could see immediately he, you know, just was, he was upset. But what I love about the fact is that he is upset. I love the fact that he's firing back. You know, I played that interview that he did with Christopher Gabriel from 940 ESPN. I played that the other day on the podcast, and I said that it just had a different feel to him. Derek Carr just seemed like a different dude, and he was interacting a lot on Twitter with fans, and he just seems like he's in a different place right now, and it's not a bad thing. And so all of a sudden to see him fire back after all year long, people have been talking trash about Derek Carr and getting rid of him. And hell, you know the conversations we've had here on the podcast. Well, this is totally different. I mean, this is just Max Kellerman. And we all know that those guys on shows like First Take and Undisputed and that other garbage, that's exactly what it is. It's garbage. So for him to react and fire back and talk about, you know, he wants to get him in the octagon because, you know, these clowns don't know what they're talking about. I like that. He's getting a little something in his neck. He's getting a little fire in his belly, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm just saying he's coming with a little bit of an edge. That's what I want to see. I've been talking about it since the beginning of the season. Remember I said, go grab a guy by his face mask and tell him, finish your route. Don't give up on your route. Get a little angry. Don't just, you know, pull your chin straps down and walk off and oh, gosh, shucks, darn. No, get mad, damn it. You ain't got to cuss him out, but at the same time, because I know that's not his style, but at the same time, show some spirit. Show some fight. Show some anger. So when I see him reacting on Twitter like this and throwing shots at Max Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith is getting involved and all of a sudden Stephen A. is giving him an invitation to go to First Take, damn it, Derek Carr, take that invitation. Go. Please take that invitation. I'll watch First Take if you're going to be on it because I think that these clowns need to be schooled. I wish they put me on the damn show. Because Stephen A. Smith, he's going to rub me the wrong way anyway. I'll tell you a quick story of when I was in Arizona at the Super Bowl when the Patriots were playing the Seahawks, and that's when Marshawn Lynch was a Seahawk, and he was, I'm just here so I don't get fined. I'm just here so I don't get fined. I did a 10-minute interview, me one-on-one with Stephen A. Smith, and I really respected him at the time. And he told me straight up that Marshawn Lynch needs to do his job. And his job is part of his job, even though we as fans don't realize it. Part of his job in living up to his contract is meeting with the media and talking to the media and talking about, you know, whatever the time is that you're supposed to meet with the media, that's your job. You can't just go sit up there and be, oh, I'm just here so I don't get fined out of it and act like an ass. You can't do that. You actually have to go out there and do your job. He told me every single reason, including he has to check with his bosses before he goes and does anything because everybody has a boss. Everything, you know, in your contract has to be respected. And you know what I'm saying? He sold all this stuff to me. It was great. You know, I went back, played it on the radio station. It was a really good interview. I was really proud of myself. The very next day, he flipped and it was like, Marshawn Lynch's job is just to run and score touchdowns and carry the rock and convert on third and three and be the bell cow for the Seahawks. His job ain't to talk to us. He ain't got to talk to – I mean, he totally flipped the script. So ever since then, my respect level for Stephen A. Smith, even though he's grinded, He's worked his tail off to get to where he's at. He's very successful. He's well paid. I get it. But now at this point of his career, I believe he's just a guy that is talking to get a rise out of people. So that's why I'm not really, I don't really respect him like I used to. I mean, I respect the hustle because it's not easy to get in the position that he's in at all for anybody. He's done a hell of a job. He's doing multiple things. I mean, hell, you see, he fell asleep on the on one of the fight broadcasts just because he was so tired because he's all over the place. So I'm not knocking the hustle. I'm just saying that I don't like a guy who flip-flops one day to the other about, you know, the same thing. I'm just not that guy. Because if you ask me what I feel about something, I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to stick to that. Now, if somehow someone convinces me that I'm wrong, I'll come back and say, you know what, my bad. I got that wrong. But I just don't respect the guy that says something just to get me to talk about it and then says something to someone else to get, you know what I mean? I'm not that flip-flopping dude. I don't like that. And that's what those shows, in my opinion, are meant for. Undisputed with Skip and Shannon and First Take with Max Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith. Those things are just to... I don't think those guys believe everything that they're saying. I think they're just throwing stuff out there to say stuff. You know what I mean? And that's just... That's what's always bothered me about shows like that. But anyway, I didn't mean to get sidetracked again. Sometimes I do that. My ADD kicks in and, well... You know, it's a wonderful thing, but sometimes it's a curse as well. So it is all good. But no, I love it, man. I know a lot of people hit me up and ask me what I thought about Derek Carr and him firing off on Twitter like that. I love it. I love it. And I hope he brings that same attitude to training camp. I hope he plays the whole season with that kind of attitude. I think he realizes 2019 is a major season for him, and he's going to show everybody. He's got to do it, though. You can't just talk about it without doing it. You got to absolutely do it. So, Derek Carr, do your thing, man. I appreciate you firing back. Hopefully, you accept that invitation, and you go on First Take, and you show those clowns, like you said, what's up? I will watch that episode. Promise you. So that's what I wanted to give you in segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Went over a little bit longer than I wanted to. I kind of got on a soapbox and started ranting a little bit. But as we all know, sometimes that's what your boy does. Coming up in segment number two, calls from that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. That's coming up next.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team. Every day.
All right, here we are, Raider Nation, segment number two today on this Locked On Raiders podcast, Thursday, January 24th, 2019. Going to hit that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line right now, 707-654-4693. Got a lot of good stuff. Going to hear right now from Raider Baconator in Seattle talking about the Senior Bowl, John Gruden's press conference. He brings up some guys that Gruden mentioned by name, gives a little background on these guys, and more. Here's some good stuff from Raider Baconator.
Hey, what up, Q? This is Raider Baconator in Seattle. Just called and wanted to call in and talk a little Senior Bowl. I don't know if you or the rest of the listeners saw John Gruden's his press conference today from the Senior Bowl, but he talked about a lot of guys that he was going to coach on the north side and then also guys on the south side. But a few guys I found interesting that he brought up were three guys on both the defensive side of the ball. They're all pass rushers. And I find it ironic because the three guys that he mentioned that he really liked are actually guys that have been linked to the Raiders in a ton of mock drafts since about the middle of the season last year. So if anyone's going to be watching the Senior Bowl this weekend, I know I will on Saturday. Just wanted to give a rundown of three guys that I think could definitely be guys on the Raiders' radar. And a couple of them have already been linked to the Raiders, that the Raiders have interest by a few of their beat writers from The Athletic, and all three of these guys that John Gruden said he liked. First guy is Zach Allen. He's a defensive end from Boston College, 6'5", 285, 200 career tackles in 3 years. He's a really good run stopper, 6.5 sacks last year and 40 tackles for loss in three seasons as a starter at Boston College. He's a guy that is projected to go in the late first round. So he's been mocked to the Raiders in quite a few mock drafts. It's about between the 24th and the 27th pick. The other guy is Jalen Ferguson, a small school guy from Louisiana Tech, 17.5 sacks this past season, which led the nation, and 26 tackles for a loss in this year alone. And he's got 45 sacks in three seasons as a starter. A small school guy who is projected as a second to third round pick that's really risen up to draft boards. And he's also been linked to the Raiders in the later part of the draft, in the end of the first round. And then also Montez Sweat, he's a 6'6 defensive end from Mississippi State, 250 pounds. He has only started the last two seasons, but he, in both seasons that he started, he had 15 sacks in each of his last two seasons. Scouting report him, he's a little stiff bending the edge, but just a monster at getting to the quarterback. So if anyone has, if anyone is watching the Senior Bowl, that guys are listening, just guys that might want to pay attention that have been linked to the Raiders for quite a few months. Zach Allen from Boston College, Jalen Ferguson from Louisiana Tech, and Montez Sweat from Mississippi State. So I just want to say thanks again, Q, for having me on the podcast. Raider Baconator out.
I appreciate that call, my man. It's always good to hear from you. Now, Raider Mac, he's in San Antonio. This is his first call. He's calling about how he became a Raiders fan, especially after being born and raised in Hawaii with a family full of 49er fans. Yeah, very interesting. Good stuff. Raider Mac. He also is going to speak on the upcoming draft. So, again, Raider Mac in San Antonio.
Hey, Q, Raider Nation. This is Raider Mac calling out of San Antonio, Texas. I just thought I'd share my story on how I became a Raider fan. I was born and raised in Hawaii. My entire family, they were 49er fans. You know, they all supported Joe Montana and Steve Young. And I just remember playing NFL Blitz on the N64 with my older brother, and he'd always be the Broncos, and I'd always pick the Raiders. Tell me about that that uniform, that silver and black, you know, it's just classic. And I ended up moving to Cali, up to Santa Rosa near Napa Valley, and that was the year the Raiders went to the Super Bowl. And, of course, you know, that was a hometown team, I thought, and I threw my support behind them, and it didn't turn out too good, but I've been a loyal fan ever since. You know, you have to ride with the team through good and through bad, and, you know, we're going to get ours. And we were close in 2016, and we're going to get there again. I feel especially good about this draft coming up. I'm hoping we get people like Josh Allen out of Kentucky, if he falls to us at 4. If not, I hope we trade back with a quarterback needy team like the Giants or the Jaguars, to pick up their first round pick and then some. I mean, I could see us in a, you know, perfect world. I could see the Jaguars trading up to number 4. We get the 7th overall pick, and I wouldn't be mad if they threw in Leonard Fournette. You know, we know how much the Jaguars have been unhappy with him. Maybe a change of scenery. You know, get a nice young back to play behind Marshawn, you know, if Doug Martin can't be re-signed. Or even to the Giants. So, there you go. Peace out, Raider Nation.
All right, good stuff right there from my man Raider Mac, but he was not done yet. He had to call back to talk some free agency. He spoke on the draft in call number 1. Now he's giving his early wish list for free agency that opens up on March 13th, talking about some real deal big-time players. I mean, some real deal big-time players. This is a hell of a wish list, for sure. Here's Raider Mac in San Antonio one more time.
Hey, Raider Nation, Q. This is Raider Mac calling out of San Antonio, Texas. I just thought I'd get a jump on... give my opinion on free agency coming up, a little top 5 wish list. You know, I'm a big fan of the philosophy that you fill needs through free agency and you build depth through the draft. And with those 3 first round picks, you know, it's a crapshoot right now. Not really sure who's gonna fall to us. And before the combine, it's not really clear who's gonna be a consensus top 5 pick. So, some of the positions I'm hoping that we go after in free agency are edge rushers, like that young end, DeMarcus Lawrence from Dallas. You know, I think that they may franchise tag him, and he may not be available, but if he is, we definitely got to go after him. And after watching that AFC championship game between the Chiefs and the Patriots, there's a young end out of New England named Trey Flowers. And this man plays in a multiple defense. You know, they can line him up anywhere along the line, and he just brings the heat. You know, he was eating up blockers for the linebacker, Kyle Van Noy, to just get to Pat Mahomes. So those are 2 edge rushers I'm hoping we go after. For linebacker, you know, a position of big need that we've been we've been needing for a long time, you know, since Kirk Morrison left. And it's C.J. Mosley from Baltimore. Now, Baltimore would be, you know, kind of dumb to let him go, but that's the kind of player that we need to go for. You know, blue chip linebacker who can cover, he can, you know, man the run game, and he can also rush for the quarterback. And for secondary help, I'm looking at Landon Collins and HaHa Clinton Dix, a couple of veteran safeties. Landon Collins over HaHa. And, yeah, that's my list. Let's go Raiders.
All right, great stuff right there from Raider Mac in San Antonio two times. And that, I told you that was a wish list, right? That was a heck of a wish list that he had right there for free agency. And you heard me in segment number one, and you heard him in that call as well say that you should build through the draft and then put some pieces in there through free agency. I just think those are a lot of pieces, and those are some real big high-dollar pieces. So I don't know if that's real feasible. I don't know if that's really something that the Raiders are thinking about doing, but that is one hell of a wish list. And, again, I mean, you can form a really good team, but my only problem is, and my only question is, what's the longevity? What's the shelf life on it? That's my question. I want a team that can build and have a long-lasting shelf life. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe you need to find a way to put some preservatives in that thing to make it last. I want a team that's going to last. But great stuff. Great stuff right there. We'll see how free agency shakes out. Again, it opens up March 13th. Now we're going to end out segment number two with, I believe, Papa Q from Northern Cal. I think that's what he said. I mean, he ain't my Papa Q. Like, I talk about Mama Q all the time. This ain't my Papa Q, but if his name is Papa Q, then hey, shout out to him. I ain't mad at him. He's in Northern Cal talking about his favorite Raiders game. And this has been a tough question for me because it's so many great Raider games that it's hard for me just to put my finger on just one of them. But Papa Q got his. He's from Northern Cal, and here's his answer.
Hey, this is Papa Q from NorCal. I just wanted to give you my best game ever as a Oakland Raider fan. After years of torment from one of my best friends who lives in Ohio as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan and having their way with the Raiders through the early 70s and actually later in the 70s too, in the AFC Championship game, it was obvious from the very beginning. We were driving back from Southern Utah to Northern California on that Sunday, and just had to stop and watch the game. So we stopped at a establishment in Ely, Nevada, and early on, I could tell that the Raiders were finally going to have their day, and it was such a feeling of jubilation. Of just exercising the demons. And early in the game, my buddy said, come on, man, let's go. You know, this game's over. And I was like, no way, man. No effing way that's happening. We're going to sit here, and you're going to watch every minute of this game like I've had to watch every minute of those other games. And he didn't even argue with me. He just was like, that's my favorite Raider game ever.
Great stuff right there, Papa Q from Northern Cal. Definitely appreciate you, my man. Thanks for chiming in on that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. And guess what? We got some more folks chiming in. That's coming up in segment number three. Again, 707-654-4693. This is the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders. Your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
707-654-4693. That is the phone number to call Locked On Raiders podcast voicemail line. This is segment number three on this Thursday, this Thirsty Thursday. Y'all know how your boy gets down on Thirsty Thursday, right? I think when I get to segment number three, I start thinking about Thirsty Thursday. And you can too, because every Thursday, it's going to keep coming around. So enjoy your Thirsty Thursday like you know your boy is going to do. Again, it is Thursday, January 24th, 2019. And we got some more good calls on this Locked On Raiders podcast voicemail line that I want to get to close out today's episode. We're going to start things off with my man Victor and Cali calling to talk about Raider Nation in L.A. Remember, that was a question that I had on Wednesday's episode. Matter of fact, I was tweeted that question just asking, do the Raiders still run L.A.? So Victor, who is in Cali, as you can clearly hear, he is going to answer that question. And, you know, he has a lot of good insight on that. And also, he calls back and speaks about a radio station. You know, if there's a radio station, a flagship radio station that covers the Raiders, because I thought there was, but I'm not sure. Here's Victor in Cali with all that information.
Hey, Q, Victor from Cali. Just a quick response to your question on the last podcast regarding Raider Nation in Los Angeles. I live in Southern California. I'm in the L.A. area, not far from L.A. I can tell you firsthand, Raider Nation is thick down here, and it has not changed since the Raiders have been here. In fact, if you go back and look at the Raiders-Rams game, first game of the season, the stadium was full of Raiders fans. You look at any Chargers game, there's more Raiders fans than ever. We haven't been here in years, our team. If you drive around, you'll see Oakland Raiders license plate frames probably 9 out of 10 times when, you know, over the other teams. Rarely will you see Rams license plate frames or Chargers. We're here. You're right about one thing. LA's got a lot of bandwagon fans, people from other areas. I remember when Green Bay won a Super Bowl, all of a sudden everybody's a Green Bay Packers fan. Can't stand seeing all these phony Patriots fans now. They're everywhere. Bandwagoners, you know, those aren't Raider fans. But as far as who lives here, Raider Nation, the heart of Raider Nation has never left. That's all I got to say. The LA area, for the Raiders. Someone might know more than I do. I don't remember one in years. I usually go through TuneIn and I'll listen to the Bay Area broadcast. I'm going to miss Greg Papa. That was all I listened to. I don't think there's still one that carries the Raiders down here, but, maybe, you know, if somebody knows one, please let me know, because I'm unaware of one. Regular terrestrial radio is not something I listen to anymore. Anyway, I listen to Sirius, so I'm kind of out of it in that regard. But as far as I remember, there isn't one. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Great stuff from Victor and Callie. I appreciate you, man, chiming in as early and as often as you do. I really appreciate it. You bring a lot of good stuff to the table, so keep that up, my man. I definitely appreciate that. Now, again, I started off this whole segment number two. I started segment number two off with a call from Raider Baconator in Seattle. Well, he had to call back one more time himself. He had something else he wanted to speak on. He's calling about something he saw on Twitter having to do with the Senior Bowl and also having to do with the Raiders' current running back situation. Something I talked about in segment number one, but here's Raider Baconator and his thoughts.
Hey, what up, Q? This is Raider Baconator in Seattle. Just wanted to call about something that I saw on actually on Twitter last night. It's from some people that are at the Senior Bowl. They got about, you know, about 40,000 followers, and they're basically just an independent resource for year-round NFL player analysis, and they do a take called 10 thoughts from Tuesday and from the Senior Bowl. And I thought it was interesting. I was reading through it, and they talk about a bunch of prospects that are there. And then their number one, Tuesday take was actually something that really surprised me, because it had to do with something that we as listeners have discussed in the podcast the past couple weeks. Their number one Tuesday take, from the Senior Bowl yesterday was number one, and this is a quote from it, says, from an extraordinarily good source, running back Chris Warren is the guy in Oakland. And I thought that was pretty interesting, because I know we've talked a lot about the running back position with Doug Martin, DeAndre Washington, Marshawn Lynch, and Jalen Richard all set to be free agents. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I don't know if they're, you know, if they talked to someone. I'm assuming they probably talked to someone from the team at the Senior Bowl, but I was kind of surprised to see that. But I personally think it, you know, it's a little too early to crown a guy who's only played in the preseason. But I'm just, all the listeners can take that with a grain of salt. But I hope, if that is the case, I hope it doesn't deter them from getting a guy, a pass catching guy, a change of pace back, like say Bilal Powell or Tevin Coleman in free agency, or Josh Jacobs or Damon Harris in the draft. So I thought it was kind of interesting that that was the number one takeaway that the that this page had from that this verified page had from the Senior Bowl yesterday. So it's Raider Baconator in Seattle. Thanks again, Q.
Love it, love it, love it. Thank you so much, Raider Baconator, for chiming in. And the running back situation is something that needs to be addressed. I kind of went on my my rant in segment number one about my thoughts on it, but clearly Raider Baconator in Seattle saw the same kind of post and the same kind of remarks that I saw coming out of the Senior Bowl. So I'm glad that I wasn't crazy and I was the only one that saw that. I appreciate you chiming in and sharing your thoughts on it. Now, James in KC, going to close out segment number three. He's got a kind of a lengthy call, but we're going to close out segment number three with his call. He's calling to talk about a few different subjects, including how he became a Raiders fan. His story goes way back, originates in Cali because, well, he's in KC. He talks about his favorite all-time player. He gives a history lesson, basically. And then he also talks about the Raiders defense and what he'd like to see done with the Raiders defense. It's a really good one from my man James in KC.
Hey, Q. Hey, Raider Nation. This is James in KC calling in. Wanted to touch on a couple of subjects here. First and foremost is my how I became a Raider fan. I can remember back probably when I was 8, 9 years old, maybe even a little earlier. We'd come home on Sunday after church. We lived in Modesto. Actually, we lived in Turlock at that time. We'd come home from church on Sunday afternoon. Mom would be in there fixing fried chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, biscuits and corn on the cob. And me and Dad and my brothers would be watching the Raider game on TV. And had to have been probably back in 76, 77, 78, somewhere around in there. And have been a fan ever since. Thank you, Dad, for being a Raider fan is all I got to say. Thank God he wasn't a Niner fan. Love for the Raiders have grown year in and year out. One of my favorite players of all time is probably Howie Long. Been fortunate enough to see a few games in the Coliseum, and there is nothing, no matter where you go to watch a game, whether it's football, baseball, hockey, basketball, doesn't matter. There's nothing that compares to the Brotherhood of Raider Nation at the Coliseum. You walk through the parking lot, and it's like you have been family for years and years and years, and they've never met you before. You get pulled over into a tailgate party, given drinks, given food. Everybody loves everybody there, as long as you're a Raider fan. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, went to work for Lewis Rich in Modesto, California, where I met my brother from another mother, Henry, out of Modesto. Big shout out to my brother. Love you. He's a Raider fan, as you well know. But we talk Raiders all the time. Back in 2011, wound up moving to Kansas City. And as you know, Chiefs fans are horrible, horrible. God, they were already talking about the about the Super Bowl parade before they even played the AFC Championship game. Got to deal with them all the time. I hate them. Hate the Patriots too. The Tuck Rule, Walt Coleman. Can't stand any of it, man. Hey, next subject I want to talk to you about is our defense. I hope we invest heavily in our defense this offseason through draft and free agency. I would love, would love to see our defense get back to the days of the twos and Lyle Alzado and Howie Long and guys like Greg Beaker in the linebacker position, or Bill Romanowski when he was a Raider. Got to get back to a mean and nasty defense. Another thing I want to touch on is what Beta Raider was talking about how your podcast, the Locked On Raiders podcast, which is all of our podcasts, how you make it so much more than just a podcast. you get all of our feedback. You give, you make us all feel like we have a say in all things Raider. Love that. Love you for it. Thank you, Raider Nation. I'm out.
Great stuff. Great stuff. Definitely appreciate that. Appreciate everyone who chimed in. Matter of fact, before I wrap up today's episode, I did want to share a tweet that I got today. I got a message on Twitter and I wanted to share it because I was talking about it on Wednesday's episode, and it's actually from my man Farley. And he was the one from Sydney, Australia. Remember, he called in and I said, "Good night, mate." And he's from down under. And I think I called him Paulie E. Well, my bad. Anyway, he sent this message today, so I wanted to share it. He said, "Hey, Q, thanks for playing my call yesterday from Australia. I think you referred to me as Paulie E. Must be my Aussie accent. My nickname is Far Lee, like Far Lee. No harm done. Thanks again. Love the podcast. Gruden is right about the changing body shapes of players. I believe it starts off in junior sports with people pigeonholing kids into certain positions because of their body shape as a kid. Kids grow and change, but sometimes new skills cannot be learned as kids' body shapes change. It happens here in rugby league. P.S. If you can stream rugby league games, check out the Canberra Raiders. Season starts March 17th. All the best from my man, Far Lee." So I just wanted to share that message because I get a lot of messages on Twitter, a lot of direct messages, and sometimes I don't always get to share them, but I had a couple minutes here, so I thought I would. So Far Lee, sorry that I called you Polly E, but now I know your name, and I appreciate you. So one more time, because I have to do it. "Good day, mate. Put another shrimp on the barbie." I don't know. Anyway, I that's terrible. It's like someone saying, "Hey, Q, you like fried chicken?" You know what I'm saying? Like, I couldn't help myself, man. Farley, I definitely appreciate you, my man. I appreciate everybody who chimes in on the podcast. Just having a lot of fun, man. That's what we do around here. Until next time, Raider Nation, appreciate all the feedback, as always. Hit me up, 707-654-4693. But as always, until next time, just win, baby.